This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 315. The way you say the animus makes it sound like a cute little plushie. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Panda!
Sup?
What you doing? How you doing? Oh my god. It's been like forever since I've seen you.
I saw you like this weekend, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, like...
For like most of the weekend.
And for... Dude, but seriously, when you think about it, that's the first time shit like that has happened.
I know, it's few and far betwixt and like, between.
That pretty much happens like once a quarter for us.
It was a full moon in Ashland where I wanted to spend time with my sister outside of professional means.
It was really kind of surprising.
And, it was magically delicious.
It was, in fact, magically delicious. I cannot deny. That shit was deliciousness.
Yeah.
It was a day full of entertainment and fooding.
And I loved both. Both of
the entertainment and the fooding?
And the fooding.
The fooding was exquisite.
Mwah!
Almost as exquisite as our weekly podcasts are. Huh? You like that?
I think our podcast show is far more...
delectable?
Like, I feel like if Esh was a food, people would want to eat it more than once a week. But we're not feeding you Esh more than once a week, people. So, deal with it!
I feel like if Esh was a food, you would have to dress really nicely to get into the place that it would be served.
Dude.
But it wouldn't be served on, like, china. It would be served on chinette, and it would just be huge portions, and it would just be so delicious.
All right. Diabetes.
You would feel like you needed to dress up because it was an occasion, but it wouldn't be snooty. So when you sat down, you'd be like, oh, yeah, we could just eat this all off the table without thing. Yeah, you could go ham on it and not be out of place.
We're getting stains on this collared shirt to not block.
I feel like it would be like Red Bones.
Red Bones.
Yeah. We think of food. But anyway.
What else is new?
Well, I mean, we typically think food.
Food.
Not gonna lie. It's because we take this thing usually around lunch and or dinner time.
Yeah.
And we get a little hungry, which makes us hungry for information.
I get more hungry.
True that. You are a panda.
But
we have good stuff to talk about this week.
I know.
I'm really excited about this show and stuff going on this week. So let's just jump right into it. I am super excited for tomorrow. Because tomorrow brings with it Call of Duty 2. Black Ops 2. And I have been waiting for this game since before E3. And then after E3, I was just drooling a little bit.
In the corners of your mouth?
Just like in a corner, you know, where you get that nasty, like, little white thing that, you know, people be like, hey, you know, just really quick, like, you wanna do, like, one of these jobbies? You know?
Black Ninja, your mouth is leaking.
You're kind of foaming in the corner of your mouth. You might want to take care of that. Like that.
Did one of your synapses not shoot off properly? Was it like, peep?
It went random. You know, everything goes off.
It flatlined real fast?
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, most of the synapse rhythm is ding, 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 ding,
ding. Oh, so you had some latency.
I had a little latency.
In your brain.
So it went ding, 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 ding. And it was like, no, 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 not right. Bring it back.
I wonder what my synapse syncopation is.
I don't know that there is syncopation.
Oh.
I feel like, no, here's the thing. I feel like where mine is more D&B, I feel like you got Skrillex dropping the bass in your head.
He just drops the bass.
He just drops the bass. And it's good, but
he can never be a fisherman because he drops the bass.
But I feel like there's an attempt for cohesion, but it's just like jazz.
My brain syncopation is... avant-garde for
yes, brain that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm like, I feel like it's
when I pass away, dubstep. People will be like, she was a genius. Possibly. But we found out too late.
I feel like you feel that that's what people would be saying, and that's cool.
I would love for people to think I was a genius. If someone out there thinks I'm a genius, you should tell me, because it would make my life happy. I think you're a
genius talent.
That's not what I said. I said genius. Genius.
Hey, you know what? Let's get back to
how excited show that we were doing.
I am about Call of Duty 2 Black Ops 2. Yay! Okay, so first of all, part of the reason why I'm excited about Black Ops 2 is Call of Duty is one of the few FPS games that not only can I get through the story mode, but I actually enjoy the single player on the FPS, because as I've stated before, FPSs are not typically my thing, first person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. I'm trying to go outside of my comfort zone.
Oh, really?
And so I've been spending some time in a bunch of different shooters, and where I ended up with being comfortable are action-adventure shooters, so games that mix first and third person, like Gears.
But how come you don't play Halo?
Because I didn't play the first couple of Halo games, so I'm not initiated, right? I've played two Halo games, and I'm going to be honest, I've never finished the fight, okay? I don't know what it is. I think I enjoy Halo multiplayer more than I enjoy the single player campaign.
Then go shoot some face.
And because I came into the franchise late, I just have never found a group of people that I could enjoy playing with multiplayer. You know, most people who play Halo multiplayer are the initiated.
Yeah, they got their clan. They ready to roll.
You know, and I just don't fit anywhere. And I jump in and I'm a noob. And, you know, noobs get...
Oh, don't say that. Just say you're inexperienced.
Noobs get no love, and so I get no love.
I feel like there should be, like, an underground fetish community of people, gamers, who love playing with noobs.
I would love to have, like, a big brother or big sister who's like...
It's like the virgin complex, because there's some people out there who like to date virgins.
You know, come here, little noob. Let me teach you stuff.
It's like NAMBLA, but for game noobs.
I don't want to be involved with a NAMBLA for noobs.
NAMBLA for noobs.
I don't. That's just... That's bad wrong. I don't want any part of that. I don't...
They wouldn't touch you.
I don't want anyone touching my avatar inappropriately.
Oh, well, I can't...
Yeah, see, this is what I'm... No. And so I ended up not really being down with the Halos. Like, I appreciate people who enjoy the franchise, and as you talk with those people, they are really passionate about their franchise, and I love that. You know, I myself don't have that for Halo, but I do for Gears. You know, I love Gears. And you know, if you strip those guys apart at their core, they're very much the same game. As far as the mechanics work and the structure of parties and whatnot, but I just don't have that for Halo. And so when it comes to FPSs, I've really settled into Call of Duty as my main guy. You know, I've played a bunch of other games. Medal of Honor always will be a highly regarded franchise for me, but when it comes down to, you know, sitting in front of my TV, it's either Call of Duty or Splinter Cell.
I like Splinter Cell. You got me turned on to Splinter Cell.
Yeah, I really enjoy Splinter Cell. I played, I can't even remember how many Splinter Cell games I played. The last one that I played was Ghost Recon. The newer one, and I haven't finished it yet, but I freaking love it. And so for me, as soon as Activision said Black Ops 2, I was sold, because I really enjoyed Black Ops. I know you finished it before I did, Panda.
Yep.
And I ended up borrowing yours to start the process of finishing it, and then I got my own copy. But I really enjoyed Black Ops. I thought that the single-player campaign was really fantastic and enjoyable. You know, there's nothing new in a Call of Duty game in the core of what the game is. You know, when you're talking about modern warfare, you know, you're going to have big weapons, big guns, there's going to be big explosions.
Let me guess, we're going to have warfare and it's going to be modern?
Something along those lines. But you know, what you're always assured of in a Call of Duty game is that it's going to look great. And it's going to look realistic. And you crank up the sound, it's going to feel realistic. And I enjoy that in a Call of Duty game. At the same time, it is a little bit punishing. You know, they don't coddle the weak in any Call of Duty game, which I really like. And Black Ops was the same. You know, there were many times that I had to redo a level because I didn't snipe a guy at the right time, or I didn't infiltrate the right way. And so I really had to stop and think. And I like that in the game, but at the same time, every single mission isn't, you have to do it this way in order to progress. So there's always an option for me to play the way that I play a game and still make it out. And so for me, sitting down in the demo at E3, where they played through this amazing level for Black Ops 2, where you are basically trying to protect the president in a convoy, and shit just goes to hell.
Yes.
And you pick up this weapon, which just looks like a regular sniper weapon, and it turns out that it can actually pierce concrete. And so you have the ability, when you have this weapon, even though you have limited ammo that you can use with it, to see bodies through certain elements, like hiding behind poles or hiding within a car or behind a car, to actually take them out through the car. I did squee a little bit, not gonna lie.
How big of a squee?
I mean, it was audible. We were in a room that fit about 35 people, 35, 36, and I would say that everybody in that room, including the people actually running the demo, because it was a live demo, so it wasn't just a video FMV.
Right.
Yeah, everybody heard me squee.
All right.
When the lights came on, the guy running the demo, because I was in the front row, because I was doing interviews with a bunch of different developers at Activision that day, he looked at me and kind of gave me that nod like, yeah, I heard you squee. I know it was you.
Oh, girl, I heard you squee.
Yeah, yeah. And he smiled like a little extra hard when he gave me my t-shirt as I was leaving. He was like, mm-hmm. Like, I got you. And was really proud, and should be. The action is quick-paced as it's supposed to be, and I cannot wait to get my hands on this game. And for me, it's really odd, you know, knowing the kinds of games that I really enjoyed, is be sitting here and be as pumped and as amped as I am about an FPS, where the basic structure of the game is not going to be any different than the last one that I played out of the team. But everything that, you know, Treyarch has been doing since they've been brought onto the project, I gotta tell you, I'm just really impressed with it. And so I'm psyched. Like, this will be the first time that looking at a Call of Duty game, I've considered getting the Hardened Edition or the, what I would call Pimp Collector's Edition, which is a Care Package Edition. So if you're not familiar with the franchise, obviously, war is hell, it's going on, and typically you have a bunch of different missions that you are progressing to tell this one consolidated story, and you're playing these missions as different team members in different attacking,
and sometimes they're in different factions of, like, war.
Correct. So sometimes you'll be playing on...
You'll be a Marine, and then sometimes you might be a part of the Navy, and then you might be a...
A member of British of intelligence,
or
you may be a
sometimes you're James Bond. Sometimes
KGB type intelligence.
Sometimes you're a Pokemon
agency. You're not a Pokemon, although that would be cool if you could be like a Pikachu with that rifle. I would play that game. Anyway,
I'd like to see a picture of a Pikachu holding a rifle.
I would really like to see a Pikachu in full camo with a.
Oh no, the detonator and be like, Pikachu! And then blow shit up. That'd be kind of cool.
We're just so tormented. But, I did not get a collector's edition. I know, right? Yeah, I kind of spent more money than I was supposed to on some other things, so.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of boxes around here.
Shut up. So, I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to be waiting on doing that. However, there are three packages, different packages, that you can get of the Black Ops 2 game. There's obviously the standard edition, which is just the game. You do get the Nuketown 2025 map pack if you get the any version of the game now, which is cool. And it's a re-envisioning of the Nuketown map from an earlier COD game. Then you have the Harden edition, which gives you that map. It also gives you some additional camo for your weapon. You get the steel case book for the game. You get the set of challenge coins, which are really nicely done, by the way, as well as some avatar items for the Xbox folks. You get some items for your PS3 side of the world. On the care package one, which is the PIMP edition, you get those things that I mentioned. You also get the soundtrack, which the soundtrack was actually worked on by Trent Reznor, which is really cool. And I'm glad that Treyarch and Activision were able to work that out. So it really does have a very heavy feel to it, which is cool. I love Trent and his work. And you kind of sort of get a drone, a robot remote control drone that you can fly around.
Yeah, I like comes flying in things that I'm
box.
Not saying.
Let me tell you, if I had a place to put that box, I would have gotten that edition, because just the images alone of Eshdog trying to figure out what the hell that thing is, flying it around the house and then chasing it, would almost be worth it.
It's worth it in my mind.
But the price points go up. The standard edition is going to set you back $59.99. The hardened edition is going to set you back $79.99. The care package edition, which is in a limited run, is going to set you back $179.99. I haven't ruled it out yet, per se.
Yes, you have.
But kind of. Just a little bit.
How about you save your money for helping, I don't know, younger sisters with life problems?
Nah. Well, I gotta save my money for that.
Well, because she doesn't make money.
Mm.
For a little sister
don't
problem.
Don't make money, money, make money, 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 but to take money, money, take money,
whoa,
money,
whoa,
money.
Whoa. I don't take money. When people give money, I then use it.
There's a use money, money, use money, money, money.
That's more accurate.
Little
sister, hashtag little sister problems.
Yeah, seriously. Hashtag younger sister problems. But I'm really excited about the game. As soon as I get my little mitts on it, you will be hearing about it probably first on Facebook and then on Twitter. But I plan to do a write-up as soon as I get through the story mode. I will be begging Panda to come down and watch.
Because
we don't have the game, so we can't play together.
Well, yeah, little sister unless, problems.
No kidding. So you're going to have to come down. You're going to have to, you know, play IRL. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
What?
I know, serious, it's a good thing.
I don't play games IRL. Ha ha, continuity, that's a lie.
But I'm just saying, you're going to have to come down and get in the physical space. Here's the deal, I will have Cheez-Its.
How about pizza?
How about Cheez-Its and pizza?
That does not sound bad.
I'm just saying.
That is sad. I can be enticed by delicious foods.
I'm not saying I'm going to feed you. All I'm saying is...
Wait, you just said...
Hold up. Listen. I'm not saying I'm going to feed you. All I'm saying is there will be chip and dip and pizza more than I can finish. That I will not say you cannot have.
You cannot have pizza.
If you show up. What I'm saying is if you show up...
Pizza,
there will be food.
Pizza will be had.
Pizza will be had. I'm not trying to bribe you. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying conveniently there'd be
there's gonna be food. I'm just saying there's gonna be food.
I feel like I was a cartoon character in a past life because I just if there's nice smells, I follow that, you know,
the waft.
That waft and that come hither.
I get trapped often. The pie flavor is just like, come on, come on. I got pie too. I'm just saying. I got pie. I got chips and dip. There will be pizza.
I'm gonna go text Avery style.
Just all of a sudden, auga.
Auga.
I'm just saying, there will be food. So okay. There's that. Mm. So I really am looking forward to it. And one of the things that I love the most, I think, and why I am so excited about things that happen with the Call of Duty franchise is because of the Call of Duty endowment that Activision has created. You know, they do a lot of really fantastic things for the military community through the endowment because of the success of the franchise. And so, you know, anytime you have an organization that is trying to give back to the community that they are in one way honoring by keeping the focus on the realistic pieces to a degree, because I'm not going to say that Call of Duty is realistic to war, but to a degree to really demonstrate, you know, the hard choices that have to be made and the harsh conditions that our men and women face when they are serving, but to use proceeds from the sales of that game to then give back to actual veterans and those in need, I think is a fantastic thing that a lot of times people do not give Activision credit for, and I do. One of the things that they are doing that they've added to their campaign, so not just proceeds from the sales of the game, and the endowment is something that runs year-long. It's not just when they are launching a game, but they are also selling some dog tags this year that proceeds of the dog tags go to the endowment, and you can get those at GameStop if you're picking your game up in hand, as opposed to having it shipped to you. You can also get them at Toys R Us and pretty much any place that you'll be able to pick up the game. I think Walmart's carrying them as well. I will be on the lookout for a set of these dog tags that they'll be selling through the holiday season. But I just feel that, you know, it's not enough just to talk about the game and to continue to put really fantastic titles out in a franchise. There are a lot of companies that do that. But to really focus on giving back to the community that you're focusing on in your game, I really want to make sure that Activision gets the credit that they really deserve for creating the endowment. I think that it is a really wonderful organization, and they will be getting money from me, not just because of that, but a big, big reason is that I love it when game creators and publishers give back to the community year-round, not just when it's, you know, convenient to do so to get the PR, but really and truly, I take my hat off to Activision, not only for the endowment, but for really continuing with a strong franchise. So, like I said, as soon as I get my little hands on it on Tuesday, you will be hearing more from me about it. Be on the lookout. There will be my final thought review type thing on our page on EGM Now. So that's my first thing. Panda, what you got for the people?
I only got one thing.
Okay, because I got one more thing after you.
What else?
Like two things.
Panda sandwich.
Look, here's the thing. I come prepared with two things. Two things. There's always been a thing. Two things. And then, you know, if we run over, then it ends up on the cutting room floor. But you come prepared with two, just in case somebody didn't come prepared with one. But go ahead. I'm listening. I'm all ears.
I'm
going to shut up right now.
Right now?
Right now.
Right now?
This minute.
Wow.
Serious.
I'm going to take in that moment of silence, people, because I don't get that very often.
Enjoy it, because it's short-lived.
I know. It's already gone, and there it goes.
There it went.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I've been noticing some pictures floating around on Facebook. And no, they ain't my boobies.
Wait. So your boobie pictures aren't on Facebook anymore?
No, they're on my Instagram.
Oh.
Anyway, don't ask me what my Instagram is. I can't tell you. Anyway.
I'm gonna find them boobies.
Boobies.
Boobs.
But I've been noticing these, like, these screenshots, like, in the corner where, like, the ads are. So, you know, they're trying to entice me. And they were pretty enough.
Did they entice you?
They did. Because I did click on one.
You clicked it?
And I kept seeing little, like, news snippets about this, you know, this game that Capcom is hoping to have released, excuse me, in May of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Called Remember Me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they're showing all these, like, you know, screenshots and character sketches and, you know, not really telling us a lot of what the game's really going to entail. And they've got enough time to flesh that out, which is probably why they're not doing that. But I decided to be curious and
wanted... Curious panda? You know what happens when pandas get curious, right?
Yeah, people pandas. In Texas die. Well, in that one town. Anyway.
That poor town. Poor town.
I'm sorry, guys. I thought the cookies would be edible.
The cookies were not edible.
And they were green. So that should have told you right there that something was not right
with them cookies.
But anyway, so yes, Capcom is talking about this game that initially, I guess it was called Adrift. It wasn't originally called Remember Me. Okay. And from what I'm piecing together, you play this character who is a memory hunter in Neo Paris in like 2084, so it's like in the future.
You have to deal with Neo French.
Neo, you are in Neo Paris, so you are. I'm assuming your character is.
So would that make you a Negro in Neo Paris?
I'm a Neo Negro in Paris. Neo Paris. Wow.
Did I just blow your mind?
Well, I don't think she's black, so I don't think she's a Negro.
Aww.
But anyway.
Damn.
And apparently it starts off with your character, and she's in the Bastille. So she in jail.
Poor thing.
So she actually...
What'd she do? She shoplifted?
Well, no. She's a memory hunter. So she works for a company...
She shoplift a memory?
Well, that's the thing. You're trying to figure this out.
Oh.
Because she's got amnesia, so she don't remember shit.
Damn it! Now, I'm not trying to cast aspersions.
Spursions.
Or magic missile.
Magic missile spursions.
But all I'm saying is, if you're a memory hunter and you come up with amnesia, maybe that's not the line of work for you.
Well, that's the thing. So, the company that she works for, essentially, and mind you, I'm piecing all this together because they have not come out and directly said stuff.
Correct.
But apparently, they went and wiped her memory, and the whole course of the story is you try to figure out, one, why they did that.
Uh-huh.
Like, the real who, the why, and how do you get them back?
Gotcha.
Because you kind of need those.
Yeah.
One of the interesting features that they're kind of talking about is this whole memory remixing thing. So, you're a memory hunter, so you go after targets, and it's kind of like Inception. You're supposed to go in there and possibly pull memories out.
Right.
And then rearrange them.
I fucking love that movie,
to manipulate your target.
Okay.
So I'm like, that could be really kind of cool. Like, they're really going in deep to a psychological level.
It's like that train movie, 8 Seconds.
The source code?
Yeah, that one.
I never watched that.
Me either.
Because I was like, 8 seconds is not enough time, though apparently that movie proves that it is.
Evidently, you can get a lot done in 8 seconds.
You can get a lot done in 8 seconds.
You can pretty much save the world in like eight seconds.
Not me. I would roll over and the world would blow up.
Well, when you think about it, it's possible. When you think about the Avengers movie, I mean, Hulk, like, laid out Loki in less than 8 seconds.
But he's the Hulk.
I know, but I'm just saying.
It wasn't like some random kid said, fuck you, Loki, and kicked him in the knee. That made him drop a staff that shot him in his head and killed him.
I mean, that would have been funny, though. I'm just saying.
Irony much?
He went all bam-bam on him. And it was done. It was like, whoopang, whoopang, whoopang.
I think the Hulk Puny watched gone. Bam Bam from Flintstones when he was a kid.
He's like, I want to grow up and be like
I want to be just whoopang. Like Bam Bam. Bam Bam!
Whoopang, 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 puny god. Done. And just saying.
Hulk, you smash. That's exactly what I do.
Yep, that's
and
what Hulk
And Smash
do.
Is going to get an episode, a TV series on ABC.
Just
Not
saying.
To be confused with the
Smash that's on NBC.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
Which is... Oh, we finally got back to that, huh?
Because I heard that this... All right, tangent time. Because I liked the first season of Smash.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a new theatrical friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
who apparently knows the skinny on what's going on, or what may be going on in season two.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things I liked about season one, they have now gone and are not going to be a part of season two. So I'm like, and I'm gone.
Didn't I tell you? What did I say?
No, the first season was fine, but they're taking out all the hot eye candy. And sadly, if I want to watch, you know, semi-talented people perform and sing, that's what I have Glee for. And now Glee doesn't even interrupt with my new girl time.
I know, so you're all set.
So my life is now perfect, and you've now gone, and you've decreased it from perfect to, at least it's not Wednesday. Because I got nothing to do on Wednesday. Wednesdays suck. But anyway.
Wednesday should be your anime day.
Annie Wednesday.
Just saying.
Regardless. So I'm a little pissed off about that. But regardless, that's not what I'm talking about.
No, it's not. It has nothing to do with Remember Me. No, which is what you were talking about.
Which is what I was
initially
talking about.
Right.
But anyway.
But no.
So The thing that really seems to entice me about this title that we hopefully will see, hopefully nothing will happen and Capcom will have to push this back, is the combat. And pieces of information that I've been finding about the combat actually allows you to create and customize your own combos in the Combo Lab. I so hope that they change the name of that, but whatever. And apparently there are going to be four different family types of fighting styles.
Okay.
And you're allowed to mix and match them to suit whatever your particular goal is.
That's
at
cool.
Whatever. And it's a lot different than just button mashing like in a Bayonetta or a fighter where you're trying to figure out stuff. You actually get to set yourself up to suit your play style, which I really kind of like.
It's the thing that I miss in the Devil May Cry series, because in the first game, when you equipped a weapon and you equipped, you know, your sub-weapon, it really did change your fight style, your attack time, even your stance to a degree.
Yeah.
And affected it. And then in later games, while you still did it or could do it, it did not have the same effect.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, but I find that really kind of awesome. Apparently, they're going to be about 24 different types of moves that you can mix and match.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it really does allow you to really play that up. There are super moves that you can somehow put in there also. So, I mean, I think there's five of those. So, overall, there's about 29 different moves that you can mix and match and do whatever you want with, which I really kind of like. I hope that we start seeing exactly what the memory remixing looks like.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I really do like that idea. Like, I mean, is it Matrix-y? Like, you have to plug into their brain and, like, kind of do what Desmond does when he's in the Animus?
Wait, well, when he's in the what?
Animus.
You make it sound like a cute little plushie.
It's like, oh, you're in the Animus. It's like, no, brain, it's my brain machine, bitch. Animus.
You need to hurry up and finish that game, because I can't talk about it till you finish the game.
Yes, you... Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah.
Originally, I was going to talk about it, but you ain't played it.
No,
so.
Not yet. But anyway, so, I mean, that's really what I just wanted to talk about. I mean, they're starting to really drop a lot of tidbits out there, especially on the Facebooks.
Facebooks is where you get the information these days. More so than Google.
I haven't seen a lot on Twitter yet, but I don't know if that might be because they might try to tie that in somewhere else.
Well, but they may have some kind of mini game that they work on that they deploy on Facebook.
Maybe.
That ties in. You know, it's one of the things that I did like about Assassins were the mini games that you could do things on Facebook and then they get additional items or XP and things like that in the game on your platform, which I thought was a cool tie-in, both before a game and in the middle of it. To help bolster stuff that's going on. I guess my first question for you, Panda, is, you know, I kind of see a trend starting, you know, when you start talking about this game and, you know, the games that we were really attracted to when we were at E3, like Beyond.
Yes.
You know, and
Two Souls.
Yes. You know, that seem very much to focus on a very deep psychological...
Cognitive.
Yeah, cognitive platform. and storytelling element much more so than, say, you know, an Uncharted, which is
not necessarily not cognitive, but just but far not, more
not necessarily about person to person relationships and exploring. Well, I mean, the
Uncharted 3 did have a person person, because you started seeing, you know, Nathan's disintegration into obsession and what that did to his team, mm-hmm. or what it was starting to do to his team,
and where he came from. But, you know, I'm just wondering if, you know, when you look at the stories that are being told in this leg of games that are coming out, right? You know, I would say that Assassins definitely, if you've now played all of them, you realize it is very much a very rich and deep story, and what they're getting at is very interesting. Okay, then you look at the path that Uncharted has taken. You look at the path that God of War has taken, and where it seems to be going now with Ascension. After we thought the last game that we got was the
They lied. Kratos. But I'm happy that they lied to me.
I'm very happy that they lied. You know, you look at how Tomb Raider has now changed with the new Tomb Raider game that's coming out with,
her origin story.
Yeah, but when you look at what they're doing with Lara, it almost seems to be, at least to me, a little bit of a rebirth of the character.
Right.
Because while it is Lara as we know her, it also isn't. And I think that it's going to allow...
I think, no, at the end of that game, it will be the Lara that we have come to identify.
I think that it will be a Lara that we can identify
with.
That there will be enough of the things that we know and love from the Lara, from the Tomb Raider games we played, but I think that the character is going to be a little bit different at the end of this game. You know, I don't think that it's going to be the Angelina Jolie Lara Croft.
Thank God.
And I don't think that it's going to be, you know, the Lara Croft from the end of Underworld. And I'm okay with that. I really am. But it's definitely, when you look at the series, it's much more about Lara's adventure than the goal that Lara is going for. And that just seems to me to be a much more deep character development and exploration than just this is the avatar you take to get through the level.
Yes, I would agree with that statement.
And so what I'm wondering is if, you know, the bar is now moving further away from character you use to get to goal to really building a character and a franchise that you will have a connection with or have some kind of reaction to because it's been very deeply flushed out. You know, you start looking at these characters that we obsess about, you know, Nathan Drake and Lara Croft and Kratos and Marcus Fenix, and you know, they're characters that we can name by name and identify by lines that they drop in the game, and their backstories we can recite from memory, as opposed to, does anyone remember Mario's backstory?
Does he have one?
You know, but yeah, kind of.
Well,
you know, and
well,
so,
he's Mario, and he's got a brother, Luigi Mario, and they're plumbers. And they find a magical pipe that lets them go to a magical land where there are hot chicks who are princesses who do them. So they're like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures before they got licensed.
What, without the
plumbers.
Wild Stallions?
Well, because, no, the Wild Stallions is the name of their plumber business.
Oh.
But anyway, may I interject?
Go.
So going on what you're talking about, I feel like the games of the past were a very broad, generalized concept. Character that you control, like you said, moving through escape, without us really analyzing, well, what's this place about? What is this whole story about? We weren't looking to that because we were just like, hey, we have technology that lets us do this. Let's turn this into something that everyone will want to do more of this, and let's make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like games of the past really essentially were.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because we have generations of people growing up with this, not necessarily even being just a form of entertainment, but a way that people interact and socialize, you can't expect them to respond to games the exact same way. So you have to entice them, not only in the mechanical sense, but in that cognitive sense, in that developmentary sense, because, I mean, that's where creation really kind of comes from. People have played these games over and over, and now what? They're writing fan fiction, sometimes not great fan fiction, but they're, sometimes. And they're drawing comics because they are, you're helping them develop a cognitive, creative, you know, spark in them. So it's making all of this fodder, or all this, I don't know what to call it. Product, I guess?
Sure.
Creative product. And it's just, the games have gone from a, you know, very player platform goal at the end to, well, what motivates that character to do what we are making them do? And that is what is enticing and delicious to the gamer of today.
And my curiosity comes in.
Oh, I feel
in.
Really smart.
Well, that was really very well put together. My curiosity comes in, you know, looking at the indiescape and, you know, what's coming down the pike, right? You know, I mean,
Slender, Hyde. I mean, whew, man.
You know, I mean, you look at where games have come from and where they seem to be going, and there definitely seems to me to be a shift in the more emotional and cognitive experience with still the puzzle solving piece, right? Because at the core of every game, you're solving a puzzle, whether it's trying
to figure out, the game itself is a puzzle, spoilers,
you know, or trying to get from one place to another and you have to achieve this goal. How do you achieve this goal? Whether you have to do the linear line or you have to figure it out through, you know, the multiple ways that you can do it, you know, it seems to me that games have definitely evolved, and that it complexity is not just in how you solve the puzzle now, but all the pieces that go around it, the atmosphere, the characters, their backstories, how things feed in. And my curiosity comes in, this year looks like it's going to be the peak of really that kind of creativity, thought, and investment. You look at Dishonored. You look at, you know, the new Gears game that's coming out. You look at Tomb Raider. You look at, once again, hopefully, Last Guardian. You know, you look at these titles, and you kind of have to, or at least in my mind, you kind of have to go, wow, with these things looming and on the horizon, you know, where do we go from here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how
I mean, there's only so much cognitive and cerebral places a person can go
Infinite,
to tap into.
BioShock Infinite is around the corner. That game looks to be...
That game is terrifying to me, not even in the sense that horrific things are going to happen, but it's so up in the air. I'm going to have the hardest time playing that game because I am terrified. I'm terrified of in-game heights and real-life heights.
You just don't be liking to be high.
I don't. Like, if I'm really high,
and
I don't like jumping from high places.
But I feel like...
Sometimes I even like taking steps.
That's kind of been Irrational's thing, though, is that they've played on that all along. You know, when you first descended into Rapture, you were brought down well below sea level into an encapsulated area that you had no idea how to get out, and you were trapped amongst all of the crazy inhabitants.
Damn,
that left.
Damn Atlas.
In,
I hate you,
Rapture. Okay, so before you were stuck underwater, well away from land.
Well, I feel like water is the inverse of air anyway, so I mean,
and
the fear
then,
that you get for being, you know, crushed to death by the pressure of the ocean.
Correct, or if you have any kind of, you know, phobia of being enclosed in spaces.
And or drown.
There you are. And now the flip side to that, you know, which taps into, you know, I think human beings'
space.
Irrational fear, which is quite rational.
See what they're doing? Irrational fear.
You know, but now you take to the skies. You know, everyone has the fear of falling. There are studies that say that everyone has that, you know, falling dream sometime in their life. And that, you know, it is a natural thing. And so a big part of now Infinite,
and you wonder why I hate planes.
A big part of Infinite is going to be
having to jump and partially fall
and deal and hope with
that you make it to something that's not going to kill you
and deal with that and face that fear. Fuck that noise. You know, that's a whole nother level that I don't know that a lot of people have thought about.
I'd rather take shots in the face via a harpoon that's been dripped in AIDS.
Wow.
Than fall off of something.
Wow.
I would rather fight boomers that are naked and are flopping everywhere.
Oh, that's just a not right image to have.
To attach my hooky hand thing to that cable and have to slide somewhere.
You know, so for me, you know, in listening to you talk about Remember Me,
I'd
and
rather
thinking,
fuck a sheep.
Wow. Wouldn't that be a sheep fucking you? All right, anyway, I don't want to think about that. But really, what I'm just trying to get to is I'm so excited for what's about to come around the corner.
Just around the river bend.
As far as games coming out, my concern is the level that it seems we are about to enjoy. You know, and it's already started with the finishing of Assassins. I thought that Dishonored was really a fantastic game. I'm still on that last level because I'm trying to invade the fucking dude's place and I keep getting found out. But I just am so concerned of the bar being set so high that how do you top that? You know, I've talked about really how fantastic just the one level that I've been able to play so far of Black Ops 2 when I was at E3. Really was fantastic. It was enjoyable, and I felt right within my niche and things like that. But, you know, thinking forward, you know, how much more can you do? You know, you get through a game like Dishonored where it's, okay, basically choose your own adventure. Do you want to skulk and sneak in? Do you want to go blazing guns? Do you want to have to deal with more weepers? Do you
want to have to invite that person you really don't like to the party, or would you rather just cut their face off?
You know, you go through all of that, and this very interesting story
unfolds.
Would you
want to have to sit in the room with your ex that you know cheated on you and sold your TV on eBay?
You know,
or would you rather blow up their house?
We haven't even gotten into the new Devil May Cry game, which is the advent of Dante.
The origin.
You know, and how he got to be who he is going to be.
And we started getting pieces of his cognitive in his game that we've seen. But now we're going to see his origin and how he starts developing that cognitive bits that we experience later on in his timeline.
And so I'm really curious to see, you know, where we go from here. Because we've come a long way. We've come a long way from 8-bit guy, you know, to the Halo stories and the Mass Effect stories and
hey,
the God of Wars.
And don't just miss 8-bit, because actually some of these indie games that are coming out that are striking our cores again are all 8-bit.
I'm not throwing out 8-bit. I love 8-bit. If it wasn't for 8-bit, we wouldn't have 1632 and gigabit, okay?
Gigabyte.
All right? I'm not saying anything against 8-bit. What I'm saying is, you know, we've grown so much. The gaming platform has grown so much that for me it's really kind of taking me aback and going, okay, well, understanding where we were and where we are today, holy crap, where are we gonna go tomorrow? Like, do we start going into...
We're gonna go to Outback Steakhouse tomorrow.
Oh, okay, that sounds good. I like steak. No, I'm just saying,
hi,
you know,
steak.
What's the next evolution? What's the next platform? What's the next, you know,
holodeck?
Dude, I would fucking love a holodeck. Don't even fucking joke about that shit. I'm just saying, I would love a fucking holodeck.
I'm a trickster, bitch.
You know, what is the next evolution? And, you know, how much more of a story can you tell? What other stories are there out there to tell in this medium? You know, Gears is probably going to get turned into a movie.
Well, I mean, we're getting an Assassin's Creed movie.
I'm okay with that. If it's done...
No, wait, no, I'm sorry. Aren't we getting an Uncharted movie?
They're supposed to be getting an Uncharted movie. Mark Wahlberg is supposed to be Nathan Drake. I don't know where that is in production and all that kind of stuff. But Assassins, there is talk about an Assassins movie. The animated things have done pretty well. The comics are doing really well. So
well, no shit.
I'm not against there being an Assassin's movie. I think that Assassin's Creed lends itself really well to being a movie if it's done.
But see, and here's
let me rephrase that. It lends itself well to being a trilogy.
Okay.
Not a single movie.
Now here's where I'm going to interject.
Interjection.
So I mean, I think we've come to a point where certain games like Assassin's Creed and Uncharted 3, or just the Uncharted series particularly, will, I think, adapt well to screen and will...
God of War would adapt well.
Well, that's just because the 300 and Slightly Immortals did fairly well in sepia color. So,
God of War lends itself well because everyone loves a fantasy movie with action. Okay? Chicks dig the fantasy piece.
Dudes chicks love them abs.
Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? Dudes love the action.
They love them titties.
All right, so you throw in some gods, which makes it really okay for you to have just titties all over the place.
Titties!
All right, everybody ends up happy. But God of War is...
Boners for all.
Okay, but God of War, at its core, is a domestic dispute gone really, really wrong.
It's like, you made me kill my wife. Well, look, yeah.
You made me kill my entire fucking family.
Fuck you. It's the Punisher.
Okay?
That is it what is. It is.
It is.
It's the Punisher in Roman times.
In Greek.
Greek Roman times.
Okay?
History times. All right. Times of history.
Okay? So it works.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not against there being a God of War movie, again, if it's done right. And the problem with it being done right is, in order, at least to me, for it to be done right, it's got to be CGI, because you can't have anyone other than, what is it, T.C. Carter?
Yes, from Living Single.
Being Kratos' voice. You can't. You can't have anybody else sound like Kratos, so it has to be a CGI movie.
Yeah.
Okay? And... unless you get the right studio working with the Santa Monica studio guys. Or you can get a really
hot guy and just have him voice over the
dub. No, Yui Bull, that doesn't work. It's been tried, and as you well know, that dubbing shit, people's timings are never the same, and it looks bad wrong. It looks badong.
But anyway, that's not where I was going.
Okay, well, why don't you go where you were going?
So, like I was talking about, you know, Uncharted. Assassin's Creed. And also God of War would translate well to the screen.
To the screen.
But I think we have some games out there, ones that I know I particularly am like, ooh, yes, must play, want, that already have a very strong story. It already kind of looks and feels like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously would not translate well to a movie since they already have that element. And that's what makes them enjoyable, at least, or accessible.
Again, I say unto you, such as?
I'm talking about Heavy Rain. I think Beyond Two Souls already, because they're story-run games.
Yeah, Heavy Rain does not need to be a movie.
But because it already is a movie.
Yep.
And I think Beyond Two Souls is going to do the exact same thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
And it's going... And Last of Us also. Actually, I think Last of Us would actually be a great movie also.
I think it would. But I think it's going to play like a movie so much.
Yeah, they already have a very episodic element to them that we wouldn't need to see that repeat. So, I mean, I feel like that the ending place that game should strive to go is that episodic, it's like a movie.
And that's why I think I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, I think, they're starting to get there. And I think we've seen some breakouts now, so I think the rest of them are now going to start following suit, and the ones that can't do that graphically via a console will get a video, will get a movie, or a trilogy, or whatever else.
I think that makes sense.
Because I honestly feel like that's where media is going. It's been a visual thing, and, I mean, games have just been a great avenue for that. So
for telling those kinds of stories in an interactive way.
Well, because we didn't have that technology in movies to do what we can do now.
Yeah.
In game. True. So there you go. Like, at the end of the day, that finish line has always been a been a movie of some sorts. It's been a big representation of everything that we have seen and interacted with. And I think, you know, the gamer base thoroughly loves when we get to see a movie that's based on something that we have, and I'm using air quotes, experienced and lived. Because some people get a little crazy about that stuff. But that's where I think we're going. I think you're absolutely right with that.
I'm so glad that we agree.
I know, because we don't often.
It's, like, awesome when that happens.
We're like Dear Abby and her crabby sister.
Who is the crabby sister? You know what? Let's not even go into that. I got another thing. This is the one last thing.
Go ahead, then.
All right. So, as I said, I've been watching more anime, and I have finally gotten halfway through one series, and so I try not to, unless I'm just starting to watch something, talk about it on the show, because I like to have a couple of episodes underneath my belt so I can make sure I have a good understanding of where things are going before I share it with the people.
Because I know where I've been.
I don't know where you've been. See, that's the problem. I mean, I can't even be trusting that. But I've been watching a series called, and I've been practicing it, so here we go.
Don't butcher it.
Shut up. I could do this. Bakemonogatari. Yeah! I got all the letters in there. So it translates to ghost story. And when I was reading the synopsis of the series, I thought, okay, this is right up my alley. Because as you know, I am just on both ends of the pendulum. I either like them super silly and super sweet and just ridiculous.
Or you might need some psychological help.
Or I need someone to hug me after I watch an episode.
Hold me.
Wow. Okay. So that's kind of how I enjoy my anime. I don't typically like the slice of life things that just kind of go off, and this is how life actually is, because it's never actually like that at all. So that those are the two ends of the pendulum that I tend to be on as far as series that I really, really enjoy and either buy or end up rewatching over and over and over again, and Bakemono is definitely going to be one of those series. So it's basically based off of five ghost stories that have been told for quite some time. Yes. In the Japanese culture. And the novelist Nisio Isin turned it into a light novel. And so the anime is based off of the light novels. So there are 15 episodes in total. Initially, only 12 were aired on TV, and the last 3 were aired on the web in Japan. It was licensed and started airing on Crunchyroll here in the U.S. You can find it in a couple other places as well. And the, I believe the DVD set of the 15 episodes goes on sale later on this month. So you'll probably be able to pick it up from your local big box distributors or your big online guys like your Amazons and Best Buys and all those guys. But basically the story is this. It focuses around this guy named Koyomi Aragari. And Koyomi basically survived an attack by a female vampire and was becoming a vampire.
He is a vampire.
No, he was.
He was a vampire?
Kind of, but it's not.
Is he a halfling?
No, so let me get to it. So, he survived the attack and was a vampire and was trying to work out life and all these kinds of stuff, and it just wasn't working. He came into contact with a guy named Oshino.
Okay.
And it's not really clear as to what Oshino is or who he is. He lives in an abandoned building, and he has an understanding of the spiritual realm and the occult, and he is able to cure Koyomi of his vampire affliction so that he can, you know,
walk. It's my affliction.
so he could walk in the day and go to school and be, you know, part of his family and not try to eat anybody. But he does retain one thing from being a vampire, which is helpful to him, and that he heals really fast. So he still has that healing piece of being a vampire. But he's not a vampire. One day he's in school, and one of the most popular girls in the school, whose name is Hitagi Senjiohara.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, Senjiohara. Who is very aloof. She's, you know, a star of a sports team. She's on the student council, but she's really aloof, gets the best grades and all that kind of stuff. She's walking up the stairs ahead of him, and he's, you know, only half paying attention, but she slips. She misses a step and falls and starts to fall in his direction. And Koyomi, trying to be a gentleman, catches her so she doesn't get hurt. In catching her, he realizes she has no weight. She weighs, like, next to nothing.
Right.
Which is impossible. She should weigh something. And I don't mean, like, you know, she weighs,
I'm so in love with her that she feels weightless in my arms.
Yeah, she has no weight. And Senjiohara gives him, like, this evil, dirty look. He puts her down and goes about his business. And he's struggling with the rest of the day trying to figure out, like, why she has no weight. As he's...
Because she did.
Because he's got cleanup duty in class. And so he's finishing up and he's leaving the room. And all of a sudden, Senjiohara grabs him, flips him around, pins him against the wall, and has a stapler on the inside of his mouth, and is pulling his cheek to the side, and is basically threatening him to say nothing to anybody, and to figure out whether or not she needs to kill him right then and there, so that he doesn't spread her secret, or what, and he swears that he won't tell anybody or anything like that.
But he doesn't even actually, at this point, know what her secret is.
Correct, other than he knows she has no weight. And she goes ahead and she staples him, and he, like, cripples. And the style of the episodes are very avant-garde. There are cuts to title cards with lots of words that are cut really fast, and so it creates a very unnerving and disjointed experience, but you want to follow along with it. And so it really is displayed in a way that you feel like you're having someone tell you a ghost story. Which is really cool. And so a different plot point in each episode is brought up. Eventually,
they all tie in together somehow? Possibly. Or yeah. Some of them tie into others. And
yeah, which is really interesting.
So you've got, like, plot A and plot B, and you might get a little bit of plot A and B in the first episode.
They eventually, you know, interconnect. You know, what happens is, and not giving anything away because this happens in the first two episodes, Koyomi brings Senjiohara to Oshino to help. Because he figured, hey, if he can cure me of being a vampire,
maybe we should probably be able to help you with your
thing. You go through the story and you figure out why and how she lost her weight. And she's able to get it back so she can feel like a person again. And because Koyomi was the one to help her through it, she decides
that he's going to help her get her weight back.
No, she gets her weight back. He's the one who helps her with through Oshino get it all back. At the end of that, she then decides, you know, well, he's going to be helpful to her in another way, because part of the reason why she's been so aloof and been away from people is because she didn't want anybody to find out her secret. And so since she's got her weight back and Koyomi knew the secret, then he's also going to be the one to help her get over her not being personable
with
people.
You're gonna help me make friends.
So she decides that Koyomi is her friend, and not only her friend, but will be her boyfriend and slave.
And slave.
Basically.
Aren't they the same thing?
Then they continue to do more things, and so they end up doing some things in episodes together, and she constantly teases him all the time about, you know, physically being together, and she's very negative towards him, but backhandedly sweet. It's really very well written. It is displayed really well, and it's just a fun...
But here's where my problem is. If this happens all in the first two episodes...
That's the solution to her issue, but he does encounter other people
who have issues,
apparitions, and...
Okay, I was about to say, because I'm like, otherwise, I'm like, that's a very short series.
Yeah, yeah, no, those are just the first two episodes that he deals with her issues.
What does that slightly remind me of? Her story slightly reminds me of Dusk Maiden a little bit.
Just a little bit, in that, you know, he comes across this person and has an issue, and he's the one that's able to solve it, and there are other things that pop up.
Yeah, and very similar in that regard, and only that regard.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at one point in time, he comes across another character who is basically a snail and is having an issue, and...
Wait, a snail? Like with a shell? Like, he has a shell? She has a shell?
Kinda. It's a backpack. You gotta watch it.
Is it swirly?
It does have a little swirl in it.
Is she really slow?
No, but she's little. It's really well done. The animation is really enjoyable. There are 5 or 6 episodes now that are available on Crunchyroll. You can also watch it on Hulu Plus.
Oh, and, God, totally gonna watch it.
Definitely, definitely worth a watch. The style alone is fun. I enjoyed it more than the other Ghost Story one. The
another?
Yeah. No. It wasn't another. It was Ghost something.
Hound?
Yeah. It's... The way that it's done, the stylistically, it's more unnerving, I think. And it feels much more like a ghost story, like I said, being told to you that you're, you know, listening to someone relate this to you. You definitely have the feeling of being an outsider looking in on the series the entire time, which is really very cool. And stylistically, you know, it very much looks all hand-drawn. Even though it's not, there are sections of it which are obviously hand-drawn because the detail comes down, but it makes it seem like it's more nervous energy that's going on. The hand-drawn animation section of Animatrix. It is... The mixture just really does a fantastic job of making you feel like someone's telling you a story, and it just happens to be a little spooky. Which is very cool. So, Bakemonogatari, like I said, on Crunchyroll, on Hulu Plus, definitely check it out. It's not for the little kids, so don't be setting your children up to watch it. There are other things on both of those platforms your kids can watch, like Naruto. So, I'm just saying, for the children. For the children. Naruto for the children. Alright, maybe not for the children. You feel better?
Yeah.
Okay. But there are going to be other pieces to the light novels. I really kind of want to get my hands on them. Nisemonogatari and Kuzumonogatari. So hopefully I'll be able to find them someplace because it's really cool. I really enjoy it. I highly recommend it. If you like things a little bit on the weird side, you definitely have to check it out. So that's my stuff for this week.
Nah.
I thought so. If you want to keep in track and in the loop on all the other things that we're thinking about, talking about, playing with, as well as the stuff that's coming from the rest of the crew, that you want to make sure that you're checking it all out on our website, egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, or you can go to our normal web address where we'll have podcast episodes and those articles at a little bit later date at electricsisterhood.com, or if you want to use our short address, it is
esh.co, that is esh.co, the short address will bounce to the long one. Check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments and concerns and funny cat pictures should go to our Facebook page.
We like cat pictures.
Land of, facebook.com/landoesh.
You went to the Land of Esh before you went to the Facebook.
I's winced there. I am there all the times.
You are. I am there on days that end in Y, but at rare and random times.
Because I'm just there all the time because I have nothing better to do.
I'm like a rare Pokemon.
Yeah, okay.
Shut
sure
up.
You are.
I am. I don't come out all the time. You can't coax me out. I gotta go when I wanna go, and I'm gonna hang out with
you're
whoever
an
I wanna
Eevee.
I would be a Pokemon who you could not get into a Pokeball.
You're an Eevee.
Why am I an Eevee? Because you know what? This is another podcast.
You're an Eevee with no special abilities yet.
You know what? Yet. You know what?
I'm an Umbreon.
You are an asshole.
That too.
And that Pokemon is just a dick. All the time.
My only ability is Harden. Ayo. Anyway.
Wow. Okay. So you can interact with us on Facebook.
Facebook.com/LandofEsh.com. And we also, you know, do this podcast.
That's right. We put out brand new episodes of our podcast each week that you can get either by visiting the podcast store on your iOS device using the podcast app from iTunes, by visiting the iTunes Music Store, or going to the Microsoft Store and searching for Electric Sisterhood. When you see that beautiful subscribe button, you can click it. That will ensure that you get brand new episodes of our podcast the moment we put it out on the interweb. But
Wiener.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the opposite.
But,
you know, the podcast isn't the only thing that we do, and those aren't the only ways that you can get a hold of it. Because if you're not into using those kind of applications, you can
plug us into any RSS feeder or any podcast search engine. But if you're looking for us, you should check out our friends, too.
That's right, because we're not the only thing that makes up the Land of Esh. We put out new episodes at the beginning of the week, typically on Mondays, bright and early. But you can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Boston Bachelor Brigade podcast, which is the testosterone to our estrogen. While they talk about games and gadgets, they also talk about sports and movies and music and all that other nerdy stuff that we just don't have enough time to get to. You follow that up on Wednesday with a brand new episode of the Geek Aggro podcast, which is held down by our homeboy Deuce as well, and he talks about gadgets and all kinds of fun stuff, personal media devices and the technologies and stuff. And for the rest of the week, we keep your nerd needs satiated by all the stuff that we put up. Again, you can find at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood or through our socials, because we are on the socials. Like Panda said, facebook.com/landofesh. That'll get you to our Facebook page. But we're also on Twitter, so anytime we put out news, you can find it at ESH News on the Twitters. If you want to check out everyone who makes up the Land of Esh list, you can check out my page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and check out the Land of Esh list that's there. Everybody who's contributed to the magazine, to the website, to anything that we do is found there. Make sure you hit them up. I promise you follow those people. You will have a laugh riot every day in your Twitter feeds.
I have a laugh in my pants every day.
I laugh at your pants every day.
Sometimes I'm not wearing pants. Ayo!
Wow. Okay, so we've told you how to interact with us. We've told you about where we put out our new stuff. I guess the only thing that I have left is I gotta say, hey, Panda.
Yeah?
What shit you digging this week?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Nice. Maybe next week we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Possibly.
What shit are you digging this week?
Mexican Coke.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I'm not talking about cocaine, people. I'm talking about the Mexican Coke.
No cocaína, no más.
No cocaína. Es muy malo.
No es bueno.
Whitney Houston.
Said no one anywhere.
Whitney Houston diga, crack is whack. No, I love Coke from Mexico because it's made with actual pure cane sugar, and it is much more delicious than the Coke with the artificial sweeteners, as far as I'm concerned. So whenever I can get my hands on it, I like to make it drinky drinky. And
you like to drinky drinky.
I like to
drinky.
So there you have it. As always, I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
We will see you guys next week.
Peace.